This is Billy Bremen, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Coming to you last week and this week, we've been sharing visions, the Holy Ghost, the gift of God to us, and how Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. And now we're emphasizing this week Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. Jesus appeared to him in a vision in 1959 and walked down the corridor hallway, walked into his room, pulled out a chair, and sat down and taught him for a long time. And the main thing he taught him was, I'm going to teach you how to be led by my Spirit, and I want you to teach my people. Because that's the most important thing they can learn in the last days. So we are now on chapter 7 of the book, but it's the number one way that we are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus appeared to him. He spoke to Brother Hagin in that hospital room in an open-eyed vision, and he said, I'm going to teach you the ministry of a prophet, because you are a prophet, but that's not to lead my people. People are not to be led in the New Testament. He said to Jesus, said to Brother Hagin, nowhere does it say in my Word, my New Testament, as many as are led by the prophets, they are the sons of God. No, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he taught Brother Hagin about it, and this book is what he taught him. The number one way, Jesus said to him, is, my children are led by the inward witness. He bases that on Romans 8:16. If it's truth, it has to be based on the Word. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Now, reading from Brother Hagin, you will find that being led by the inward witness is the number one way, or the primary way, that God leads all of his children. Let me go back. I said I would in the preface of this book to what Jesus said to me in February 1959 in El Paso, Texas. It was 6:30 in the evening. I was sitting up in bed studying. My eyes were wide open. There are three types of visions. The highest type is an open vision. In an open vision, one's physical senses are not suspended, and his physical eyes are not closed. He possesses all of his physical capabilities, yet sees into the realm of the spirit. Now, that's the kind of a vision my grandson Brandon had. And we told about it Monday of this week and Friday of last week. So you can go online and you can get those archived radio programs up and you can listen to him. Now, Brother Hagin, he's in his hospital room. I told you that he was in there because he had fallen off the stage, tripped over people with their tape recorders making tapes. And they insisted that he go to the hospital, insurance purposes or whatever. He's not sick at all. And Orthy's not there. He's just there over the night so they can check him. I heard footsteps. The door to my room was ajar 12 to 14 inches, so I looked to see who was coming into my room. I expected to see some literal physical person. He expected to see a nurse. But as I looked to see who it was, I saw Jesus. It seemed as if the hair on my neck and head stood straight up on end. Chill bumps popped out all over my body. I saw him. He had on a white robe. He wore Roman sandals. Jesus has appeared to me 8 times, every time except this time his feet were bare. This time he had on sandals. That's what I had heard as he approached my door. It seemed to me he was about 5'11". He looked as if he weighed about 180 pounds. He came through the door and pushed it back until it was almost shut. He walked around the foot of my bed. I followed him with my eyes, almost spellbound. He took hold of a straight chair and pushed it up close to my bed. Then he sat down on it, folded his hands, and began his conversation with me by saying, I told you in the automobile the other night. Now, this was the automobile that was taking him from the church to the hospital. The automobile had been full. My wife and I and others were driving along within 2 blocks of where I now was, as Jesus sat by my bedside talking to me. In the car, I had heard the Spirit of God speak to me. I thought everyone in the car heard it, and I said, did you all hear that? They said, no, we didn't hear anything. You know, that happened to Paul on the road to Tarsus, the road to Damascus. Some heard, some didn't hear. In the Old Testament, the prophets would say, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, did you ever wonder how it came? It could not have been literally audible. If it had been audible, every person present would have heard it. The prophet would not have had to tell the people what the Spirit said. The word of the Lord came to the prophet's spirit from the Spirit of God. It is so real, it seems audible at the time. The word of the Lord was so real to me, I thought everyone in the car had heard it. As Jesus sat at my bedside, he said, I spoke to you the night before last in the automobile and told you certain things. I told you by my spirit that later I would talk to you further, so now I have come to talk to you about this. It was concerning the ministry of the prophet. Brother Hagin stood in the ministry of the prophet. Jesus sat there in the chair and talked to me for an hour and a half, and I talked to him. I asked questions in reference to what he was saying. He answered them. I will not go into all that he said about the prophet's ministry. That's another message. But I will get into some of it. Jesus said to me, the prophet of the New Testament is very similar to the prophet of the Old Testament in that the prophet of the Old Testament was called a seer because he saw a new thing supernaturally. The prophet of the New Testament sees and knows supernaturally. But the prophet of the New Testament does not have the same status as the prophet of the Old Testament in that I did not set prophets in the church to guide the church. A Christian under the New Testament need not seek guidance through prophets. He might realize guidance through prophets, but he should not seek it. It is unscriptural to do so. The ministry of the New Testament prophet in this area is only to confirm what people already have in their own spirits. And then he taught Brother Hagin more about that ministry. And then he said, nowhere in the New Covenant does it say as many as are led by prophets, they are the sons of God. The New Testament says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. Then he said, the number one way, the primary way that I lead all of my children is by the inward witness. I'm going to show you how that works so you won't make the mistakes you have made in the past. That's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. Jesus explained to me that to stand in the office of the prophet, one is first of all a minister, and he goes on and says certain things. But then he says, then he called my attention to something that had been happening to me for the previous 3 days. For the previous 3 days, I had sat down to write a letter to a pastor confirming a date to hold a meeting for him. However, the first day I got about half a page written, then I tore it up and threw it into the wastebasket. The next day I did the same thing. The third, I did the same. Then it was the day that Jesus was here in the room talking to me. Jesus said, you see me sitting here talking to you? This is a manifestation of the Spirit called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm. This is the prophet's ministry in operation. You are seeing into the realm of the Spirit. You see me, you hear me talking. I am bringing you through the vision a word of knowledge and also a word of wisdom. I am telling you not to go to that church. The pastor would not accept the way you would minister when you got there. But I am never going to lead you this way again. He never has, and that's been many years ago. From now on, I'm going to lead you by the inward witness. You had the inward witness all the time. You had a check in your spirit. That's the reason you tore up the letter 3 times. You had something on the inside, a check, a red light, a stop signal. It wasn't even a voice that said, don't go. It was just an inward intuition. Then Jesus reminded me of another invitation. I had preached a convention for one of the full gospel denominations the previous year. Nearly every pastor there asked me if I would come and hold a meeting. I had hundreds of calls, I suppose. One fellow came up to me and said, Brother Hagin, do you ever go to small churches? I said, I go wherever, anywhere the Lord sends me. Well, he says, we run only 70 to 90 in Sunday school, but if God ever speaks to you, we want you to come. I dismissed that conversation along with many others. Several months later, however, while praying in the church one day about my services that night, that conversation came back to me. Then every day it continued to come back to me. Finally, after about 30 or 40 days, I said, Lord, do you want me to go to that little church for a meeting? The more I would pray about it, the more I would think about it. As we say, the better I would feel about it on the inside of me. It wasn't a physical feeling. It was a feeling in my spirit. Sitting by my bedside, Jesus referred to this. The more you thought about it, the better you felt about it. You had a velvety-like feeling in your spirit. That's the green light. That's the go-ahead signal. That's the witness of the Spirit. To go. Now you see me sitting here, you hear me talking to you, and I'm telling you to go to that church. but I'm never going to lead you to go anywhere like this again. And he never has. From now on, I'm going to lead you just like I do every other Christian by the inward witness. Then the Lord said to me, this is not just for my benefit, but for yours. If you will learn to follow that inward witness, I will make you rich. I will guide you in all the affairs of life, financial as well as spiritual. Brother Higgins' comment. Some think God is only interested in their spiritual well-being and nothing else, but he's interested in everything you are interested in. Jesus went on, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I am opposed to their being covetous. I have followed the inward witness, and he has done just what he said he would. He has made me rich. What he did for me, he'll do for you. It won't come overnight or by next Saturday night, but if you learn to develop your spirit and follow that inward witness, he will guide you in every area of your life. And then Brother Hagin at the end of the book gives how to train the human spirit. And he teaches you in steps, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he explains a story in here about a man that believed God for making investments. And here in the next chapter, chapter 8, there is a no-so salvation. Some people say, well, are you saved? Well, I hope so. They've been going to church all their life, but they don't think they'll know till they get there. But in Brother Hagin quotes here, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself, 1 John 5:10. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. The sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. How does he lead? Verse 16 gives us the clue. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. It is the most important aspect of life and the most important thing that can happen to you becoming a child of God. God lets you know that you're his child by his Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Then you can understand that the first and foremost way God will lead you is by that inward witness. You do not know that you are a child of God because someone prophesied you are. You wouldn't accept that. You do not know you're a child of God because someone said, I feel like you are. You wouldn't accept that. You're not a child of God because you had a vision. You might or might not have a vision. But a vision is not what makes you a child of God. That's not what the Bible says. That is the way you know. Here's the way you know you're a child of God. How does the Bible say we know we're children of God? His Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love. He sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. You'll want this book, and you'll want it for maybe a graduate, someone who has a college education or is going to get one or graduated high school. The most important thing they can know is how to be led by the Spirit of God in life. We're making this book available for $10, normally sells for $14, of course, plus shipping. So give us a call at 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, or go online, billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.